Joshua and Caleb go in and they destroy all the Nephilim tribes, except in Gaza. Territorial spirit has never been deposed in that area. That's the entire Gaza, never been deposed.
L.A. Marzulli, it's great to have you back here on Charisma. And I got to say that the word that you gave, just talking about what God was speaking to you for the year 2024, no flesh, no sin, no death, no sting, hail to the king, hail to the king, hail to the king. That word has gone a very far way for us, which has been really cool. But you also talked about the destruction of Damascus and other things that was that were happening or that you foresaw happening in Israel. And we've really seen those things kind of unfolding. Before we get into talking about Nephilim and other things, let's talk about what God is showing you in the Middle East and things that have been going on there.
Well, I mean, I think, in my opinion, the place to watch is the Middle East. Amos 9, 14 and 15 is a scripture that we all should be reading and understand. I will bring the captivity of my people back into the land, basically. They will inhabit the waste cities. They will plant vineyards and drink the wine. They will plant gardens and eat the fruit. And I'll never take them out of their land again. They'll never be pulled out of that land again. Thus saith the Lord. I mean, I'm sort of paraphrasing here, but that's the gist of it. In 1948, that happened. And before that, we saw at the end of the 19th century, into the 20th century, we saw the beginnings of Israel coming back as a nation, Aliyah, however you pronounce it. My Hebrew is horrible. But, you know, they came back and they're there, never to be pushed out of their land again. And that's where we are. Everything hinges around the nation of Israel. If a person is an amillennialist who believes that there is no literal thousand-year millennial reign of Jesus and the church has inherited all the promises of Israel, then when we look at events like what we're seeing, they don't make any sense. Or people can't make any sense out of them. I am premillennial. I believe in a literal thousand-year reign of Jesus. By the way, it's in Jerusalem. It's not in Detroit. He rules from Jerusalem, and I think we're looking at. We might be looking at. Underline the word might. We might be looking at the beginnings of something which is very, very prophetic. Right now, it's not, but it could be. Isaiah 17 talks about the destruction of Damascus. That's prophetic. That's Isaiah 17. Israel has already threatened the Iranians. You cross this line, we will destroy Damascus. So that's happening as we speak. Also, since the last time we talked, there's a picture that I have and I show to people that where I'm speaking and I'm unpacking days of chaos, as it were. And most people don't want to hear that. They want to hear a happy message. But we're in the days of chaos. I mean, I can elaborate on that. But that's where we are. That picture shows Vladimir Putin from Russia. Then it's got President Raisi from Iran. And then it's got President Erdogan from Turkey. Well, what's wrong with this picture? First of all, those three nations, Russia, Iran, and Turkey, those three nations comprise... Those are the main leaders of the Ezekiel 38 prophecy. And for the first time in modernity that I'm aware of, those three guys are all on the same stage together. That's a huge deal. It doesn't mean we're looking at Ezekiel 38. Not necessarily. That's why cool heads have to prevail. You can't just get into it. But I keep an eye on it. And the thing that I find really telling here is – Erdogan is Sunni Muslim, and Raisi is the president of Iran, is Shia Muslim. They've been at loggerheads for 1,300 years, essentially. There's this vitriol between the two sects, and the Sunni, Erdogan, are the predominant. They're the majority in Islam. The Shia, which is what Iranians are the minority. And the fact that there's an ancient Middle Eastern saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Well, what's interesting about this is Israel is the common enemy. Every Friday night, and of course, you don't see any of this on our media. Nothing. It's a complete blackout. But every Friday night in Iran, they get together: death to America, death to Israel. Why? Why are they saying this? There's a saying I coined on the book. It was right on the front cover. Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. That book is out of print. We own the copyrights on it. I have not reprinted it. I could reprint it now, but what I really want to do is do a second edition. Mm. I just haven't had the time.
You've been a little bit busy.
No, just a tad, right? Five full-length DVDs last year, and I'm still plodding away on the rungs of a ladder of disclosure, getting closer, but they keep adding rungs, so I'll never finish the book. What can I tell you? You sent me one this morning. Thank you. So where was I? So the fact that the Shia and the Sunni branches of Islam are together on the stage with Vladimir Putin of Russia is very telling. Those are the three leading nations in the Ezekiel 38 prophecy. So I just find that really interesting. Right now, as we speak, and it's a media blackout here, the IDF has already gone into Rafah. They're already there. And it's already happening. They will destroy Hamas, and they have to. So, you know, meanwhile, it's genocide. Oh, it says it's that. The genocide happened on October 7th when unarmed people and civilians were butchered in the most heinous of ways. That's the genocide. So, you know, people go, well, you know, a lot of people have been killed and Hamas and everything else. Well, when you're at war, that's what happens. You can make a case that, well, we dropped the atom bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, hundreds of thousands of people, innocent people, We're killed. That's I'm not rooting for that. I'm not celebrating that. I'm not rooting for that. But when you're at war and you clear a section in Gaza and you leave that section figuring it's okay, and Hamas sneaks back in and starts lobbing missiles and mortars across the border to Israel again, what are you supposed to do with that? Do you think for a minute, if you lived in, let's say, Texas or any of the other border states, and Mexico, the cartels were firing missiles into Texas, do you think anybody would tolerate that for a minute? But somehow in Israel, it's genocide, that the fact that they're pushing back and fighting back. And then you got these Looney Tunes 20-year-olds over here in my neck of the woods at UCLA, you know, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. No idea of history, no idea about the entire Middle East as we know it today. Used to be under the control of the Ottoman Empire, which is Turkey. And all that was dismantled in World War I at the end of World War I, 1917, with the Balfour Declaration already in place. And the modern nations of Iraq, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, and Israel were created. Palestine were created. I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. So if you're going to give back, you know, all the land and kick the Jews out of there, then let's give it all back to Turkey. But see, that's never going to happen. That's never going to happen. So, unfortunately, the kids don't know their history, and you know they've been lied to. And that's a three-hour conversation. It's mostly in academia. It's all liberalism, liberal professors, and this is what you get.
Well, they say that those that don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it, and so you know those who are teaching history are able to basically control the way that river is going to flow.
Exactly.
And so that seems to be what's happening right now on the college campuses. But as we talk about history, you know, let's talk about the history of Israel and the conquest and the people that Israel displaced, or God actually told them to wipe out. You're famous for basically pointing out that the nations that God called them to wipe out completely were of a different seed. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, they are of a Nephilim. And what's interesting is, and the Lord showed me, the Holy Spirit showed me this a while back, maybe 6-8 months ago, when Joshua and Caleb, remember, let's back up. So the pre-incarnate Christ goes to Abraham. Abraham's like 90 years old. Sarah is like 90 years old. They're way past the point of reproducing on their own. And this is exactly why they're tapped out, because this is the God thing. You know, Abraham can't go, yeah, you know, out of my line, the Messiah is going to come. He can't say that, because he's, and Sarah, both of them are well past the age of childbearing. It's just not going to happen. Sorry, folks, you know, this is a dead issue on all levels. That's why Sarah left. So she's going, well, this isn't going to happen. I haven't had a moon cycle in 30 years or whatever. So this isn't going to happen. So, you know, Jesus shows up with the two angels. They all sit down and eat. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. And the two angels are sent to Sodom and Gomorrah. So this is like an 8-cushion shot, because Sodom and Gomorrah is a Nephilim stronghold. That's why I have a destruction. Either that or it's genocidal. There's a well-meaning, lovable pastor whom I know who is teaching a series right now, Is God Fair? And, well, God isn't fair unless you factor in the Nephilim. Why is Sodom, what is the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? Why is it so great that, you know, God sends destruction on them? And why is Lot taken out? That's a type of rapture. Before the judgment, Lot's moved out. Lot is moved out before the judgment happens. That's a type of the pre-tribulation rapture, in my opinion. So the pre-incarnate Christ is there with Abraham, and he goes, Abraham, guess what? This time next year, Sarah's going to have a baby. That's where Sarah starts laughing, because she knows that's an impossibility. Mm-hmm. And that's why he does this. He picks the things of the world which, you know, are in the garbage dump that'll never amount to anything, you know, unless the Lord shows up. If you had told me 44 years ago that I'd be doing what I was doing, we'd run out of the room screaming, right? No way. So the pre-incarnate Christ goes to Abraham, out of your seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed. And then Chuck Missler, this is where I first heard this from, Chuck Missler talks about this. Well, Abraham and Sarah go down to Egypt, and Pharaoh wants Sarah in his harem. Well, Sarah's 90 years old. She's not a babe. Oh, wait, or is she? She's past the age of childbirth. Did the Lord rejuvenate them? And in my opinion, that's exactly what happened, which makes you wonder, how does that work, right? What button is somebody pushing up there that reverses the whole deal? But he's God, and he can do that. And that's what I believe happened. That's why Sarah is laughing, because she's 90. She's had not had a moon cycle in probably 40 years or longer. She knows this is an impossibility, exactly. And Abraham is having a little trouble, if you get my drift. So nothing's going to work here at all, but he rejuvenates them. Because Pharaoh is not going to have a 90-year-old crone, all due respect, in his harem. Sarah's a babe. He rejuvenates them, in my opinion. I got that from Chuck Missler.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So then he goes, this is what drives me nuts. He goes to Abraham and goes, look, out of you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. It's all going to happen. But guess what? You're going to go down to Egypt for 400 years until the sin of the Amorites comes into its fullness. And you sit there and you go, do we really have to go through this? Yes, you do. So Abraham goes down there. Everybody is multiply. And when the Exodus happens, there's 3 million people that come out of Egypt. Right. The 12 tribes of Israel come out of Egypt. They get up to the promised land. Get this. In the promised land are all the Nephilim tribes. You've got the 12 tribes of Israel. You've got all the Nephilim tribes. They go at it. They fight for the first time. The seed of the dragon will be at war, at enmity, with the seed of the woman. And there's the seed of the woman, all 12 tribes. He still doesn't know which tribe Messiah is going to come from. He doesn't know that yet. Yeah. But he's positioned all his guys, and then there's Israel. And this is where God, with Jericho and everything else and the mandates, they're Nephilim tribes. What's interesting to your question, Joshua and Caleb go in and they destroy all the Nephilim tribes except in Gaza. Literally in Gaza. You can go and you can look it up for yourself. The cities that Joshua spares for whatever reason are all in Gaza. Where's all the problem today? I want to make it really clear. I'm not saying that Hamas are modern-day Nephilim. Although Netanyahu called them Amalek, and Amalek, yeah, are the Nephilim. Netanyahu called them the descendants of Amalek. I won't go that far. I will say this, that territorial spirit has never been deposed in that area. The entire Gaza never been deposed. Meanwhile, the Iranians are shipping missile parts and munitions through Lebanon. And guess where the depot is? Guess where the depot, the gathering place where all this stuff can be put together? It's in Baalbek. What is Baalbek? the home of the two largest stones ever. Actually, there's more than two. There's like three or four. They dug beneath the big one, and they found two larger stones. The stone that's available that you can see is at an angle about like this. It's huge.
What are these stones?
Well, these stones were never used. This is pre-flood. The flood happened. It wiped out. But you can see some of those stones are still in the wall of the temple at Baalbek. Baalbek is a Nephilim stronghold. These stones that are there at Baalbek are the largest stones ever hewn by non-human hands on the planet. Of course, New Agers and the ancient alien crowd, see, this is ancient astronauts. We're saying, well, if you want to use that term, but these are the fallen ones. These are fallen angel technology, Nephilim architecture, and it's screaming at it. And isn't it interesting that the Iranians are using Baalbek? I wonder if they know. Makes you wonder.